This podcast contains discussions of child abuse, sexual repression and sexual abuse, suicide, racism, misogyny, PTSD and PTSD symptoms, and spiritual oppression and abuse, including guilt, shame, and fear. In most episodes, we will be mentioning some of these concepts in a general way without any graphic detail. If any of these topics or other triggering topics will be mentioned in great detail, we will let you know at the beginning of each individual episode, as well as in the show notes for that episode.
Welcome back to the Leaving Eden podcast. This is a special edition of the Leaving Eden podcast, this legal update special edition of the Leaving Eden podcast. My name is Gabriel Hakohen, and I am here in the same room with my co-host for the first time ever recording this show.
Hi, I'm Sadie Carpenter, and I think this is incredibly weird, but
I think it's
could
weird too.
Be great.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes.
We're gonna see how it goes.
Yeah. Usually we record in separate places using online web tools, but actually today we are in the same place for the first time ever. But that's not really very important. That's not as important as getting this amazing information out to you guys here. Some of it's amazing, some of it's kind of terrible and sketchy and weird, but this is a legal update episode. Sadie, do you want to tell us what we're going to be talking about today?
Yeah, so we have some legal updates that have occurred in the two legal cases we've been following most closely recently, which is Kent Hovind and his just ongoing legal drama in every single area of his life. And of course, Josh Duggar, who had some motions denied by the court this week. And we're going to talk about that a little bit.
Yes, towards the end. First, we're going to talk about Kent Hovind. Then we're going to talk about Josh Duggar. But before we get into that, just important to say the Leaving Eden podcast is the podcast that is mostly about Sadie Carpenter's life in and escape from the independent fundamental Baptist cult. We talk about this cult. We talk about other cults, religion, fundamentalism, various dangerous cult ideologies, the real and present threat that they pose to society as a whole. And our goal is to promote freedom of mind, freedom of thought, and freedom of religion. So if you like this show, you can go and join our Patreon at patreon.com/leavingedenpodcast. If you want to talk to other fans of the show, you can go to facebook.com/groups/EdenExodus. Join our subreddit, also called Eden Exodus. Yeah. So Sadie, why don't you take us into the first thing that we have to talk about?
Well, I think we should make it clear that this is not something that we missed in our September 13th episode. Y'all who listen to the show often would know that I hate missing things. And
no,
that
very, very thorough person.
If we had missed this, well, Gavi's saying thorough because he just saw me doing my accounting homework before we started this recording.
Yeah.
If this was something we missed, I would have wanted to go back and cover it. But this is not something that I missed. This is just something that has happened since that episode. In less than 1 month.
Yeah. Kent Hovind, he rarely, I don't know. This man.
So you called him the Baptist Bachelor in Paradise.
Well, that was just because of his very frequent.
His at the time three wives.
So you said at the time. What does that mean? We'll get into that. What are you about to say?
I was just going to say that at the time that you said Baptist Bachelor in Paradise, I thought maybe that crack was just slightly borderline, like just maybe a little bit excessive. And then the things happened that have come out this week. And it turns out that that was very accurate, but Baptist Tiger King might have been more accurate now that I think about it.
No, it should be Dino King.
I think if there was a Tiger King-esque series on Kent Hovind, that it would be just as popular as Tiger King. So I think we need to write a Netflix pitch letter.
Netflix, yeah.
Like now.
Talk to us about it. We co-creators of the show.
So here's
a drama based on it. Would you rather see like a documentary series about Kent where it's like interviewing people, or like, you know, get Mary Taco on there, like actually talking about him, talking to Netflix? Or would you rather see like a comedy drama based on this man's life?
That is a really good question.
I mean, we could do both. We come up with a documentary, then people will be like, because they're doing a movie about Tiger King.
Yeah, so we do the documentary and then we do the miniseries.
Who'd they get to play Tiger King?
Oh gosh, I can't remember now. It's somebody good though.
I feel like it's like a Sacha Baron Cohen character that
we don't have time to waste on Tiger King. I have to tell you what has happened.
Tell me what's happened to Kent Hovind.
Kent Hovind has had a month, man. He has
just
had
a month.
He's like, had a month.
Like our episode was very current when we came out with it.
When
like,
it came out.
That wasn't even a month ago. That was like 3 weeks ago.
Okay. So yeah, it was September 13th that our first episode came out about Kent Hovind.
That was just about his dinosaur stuff though.
Right.
Like that wasn't about him.
So since we came, at the time that we came out with that episode, Kent Hovind had been arrested for domestic violence against his then maybe wife, Cindy Lincoln. We talked about how he was maybe still legally married to Mary Toko.
Is it Toko?
It's Toko. One of our listeners sent us a voice message to explain it. So thank you, Kat. But yeah, it's Mary Toko. But at the time we dropped our last episode about him, he may have still been legally married to Mary Toko, or he may have legally divorced her and legally married his new quote-unquote wife, Cindy Lincoln.
Mm.
But we don't know if they were ever actually legally married. But it doesn't matter now because he unfortunately body slammed Cindy Lincoln. He got arrested for domestic violence and now he's been sentenced to 30 days in jail over the domestic abuse between him and Cindy, and he has to start his jail time October 18th at the latest. So it's one of those turn yourself in things, which is what Jack Scott had, I believe.
Hmm.
But
they just let you turn yourself into jail?
Like, yeah, over certain stuff, they will just like, I've had a couple of friends who had Deweys, and they will just be like, yeah, show up to jail on this day at this time.
Oh.
Yeah. So if it over certain things, they will just kind of let you turn yourself in.
If you get in trouble for something, then you can just be like, oh, man, yeah, I can't go to that this weekend. I got to go to jail.
Yeah, that could totally happen. And
I can't. I'm trying to go to jail this weekend. I was supposed to go to jail last weekend, but like shit hit the fan. So now I'm going to go to jail this weekend. Like,
so that's what Kent Hovind is currently dealing with because of this domestic violence incident. Cindy Lincoln, the third quote-unquote wife, has left the Dinosaur Adventureland compound, and she is now speaking out against Hovind publicly, and she and Mary Toko have now teamed up against this guy.
Wow. They were like former BFFs.
They were like former BFFs, and then they split over Kent Hovind, and now they're BFFs again. Apparently.
Ladies, never let a man come between you.
I'm sorry. Which is like not even okay. This is not the wildest thing that has happened, though. This is like far from the wildest thing that has happened. So after Cindy dipped, Kent Hovind, he apparently had found this lady, Sandra Princess Sawyer. I think Princess is like a maiden name or something. But she lives in Florida. And he had meant to have her be a secretary for Dinosaur Adventureland, you know, answering phones and answering emails remotely from her home in Florida. The new Dinosaur Adventureland compound is in Alabama. And I don't know if we actually mentioned that on our episodes.
Yeah, I was confused by that because there was a couple times when he was like, I live in Alabama, but like it's in Pensacola. But like Pensacola is like panhandle. So
that's my bad. Kent Hovind, after he got out of jail, reopened Dinosaur Adventureland in Conecuh County, Alabama, which is I don't know, it's maybe an hour and a half from Pensacola, maybe 2 hours, but it's not that far away.
Oh, okay, that makes sense.
So he just reopened the whole thing in a new state.
Put him on the truck, moved it like 50 miles down the road.
And that's where Mary Toko lived with him. That's where Cindy Lincoln lived with him before the two of those dipped out. So Kent had found the secretary, Sandra Princess Sawyer. He had talked to her pastor and vetted her extensively, according to him, and he was going to hire her as a secretary for Dinosaur Adventureland. fairly above board.
Okay.
So when Cindy dipped out on him, like less than a week later, Sandra moved to Alabama to be a secretary at the Dinosaur Adventureland compound. And then several days after that, Kent introduced her on a live stream as his wife, and, like, made out with her on live stream.
Wow.
Because apparently he does daily live streams, and that's
this
a treat.
Man, I'm like...
So he's got a new wife, and...
Kent Hovind, the Mac Daddy of Dinosaur Adventureland.
And people are just like, apparently... People are just like, okay with this. Apparently, like, some IFB people are defending him, and he's not, that doesn't remotely come even close to lining up with IFB ideas of morality.
To be fair, there's nothing about in the Bible that says that bigamy isn't allowed.
Well, bigamy is exactly what Mary Toko is accusing Kent of, because Mary made a public Facebook post, like an open letter to Sandra, where she was like, hey, you should not trust this guy. He's still doing all the shady business practices that he was doing when he was with Joe, his first wife, and me, his second wife, and Cindy, his maybe third wife. Mary Toko also said in that Facebook post that as far as she knows, she and Kent are still legally married.
Wait, so it's not bigamy, it's like trigamy.
I don't even know. I do not know. All I know is that Mary Toko is saying that she's still legally married to this guy.
This man, my guy, Kent, he is a wild man. He, like, if you saw him, you see this man on the videos, you see him with his very, like, late 90s, early 2000s era suits and his... you know, well-to-do attitude and his proper demeanor. And you would not expect that this man is a monster.
He's like,
he is a demon.
Making out with these different... Every time he introduces a new wife, he like makes a point to make out with them on live stream. I don't know why that detail sticks with me. Probably because I am heading into the last week of Bachelor in Paradise as we speak. But it's a little much to me. He's introducing Sandra's kids as his stepchildren. I don't know what this guy is doing. I don't know.
Do you think he like when he was like preparing to, I don't know, go to jail or like he realized that do you think that he had Sandra on the back burner when like he realized things with Cindy weren't, you know, going to be continuing long term? He would just be like, okay, who do I got? Scroll through my phone. Let me find Sandra. She's available. I'll tell her that I need to move here, or that I need her to move here to Alabama.
I don't know. Like, and I'm also a little perplexed as to like, what is the attractiveness factor of this? Because he's like a very normal looking, like older white dude. I don't get it.
And I'm really annoyed because Kent Hovind has been married four times and I'm still single out here.
I would be annoyed if I were you too. So I have a couple more.
This man's gross and creepy and he's insane. And
I have a couple more quick Kent Hovind facts. One is just batting cleanup from our episode. I believe I mentioned on our episode that I had heard rumors of a child's death at Dinosaur Adventureland. I was able to confirm those rumors. It wasn't anything super nefarious. A kid fell off a dock and drowned in March of 2020. So my only point on that is he shouldn't have been open in March 2020 because there was a fucking pandemic.
Yeah.
That's
horrible.
But I wanted to bat clean up on that because I think I mentioned it on our episode and I wanted to make sure that I got that out there.
But that wasn't like anything where it was like especially...
No,
it was bad on him. No,
no. And like the way that the rumors I was reading were phrased, it seemed like there was something nefarious. So I did some extra digging and I just wanted to make that clear. What is nefarious, though?
Deepest condolences to that child's family. That's a horrible thing to have happen to a family and a child.
Ooh. Yeah, but I wanted to clear that up because I think I mentioned it. However, what is nefarious is an accusation that I've been reading online that Kent Hovind has young women who volunteer for Dinosaur Adventureland be his personal massage therapists, and that he has employed a steady stream of young women as his personal massage therapist for like 30 years.
That is like some Jack Hiles, David Hiles, Jack Scott.
That's like type. That's way over the line for Jack Hiles. That's Jack Scott level.
That is
at least
extremely creepy. I thought that you weren't like supposed to. I don't want to say like not like you could handshake with a woman who's not your
handshake
wife.
Handshake is literally it in the IFB rules. That is like the extent. So yeah, that's ridiculous.
Yikes. Well, if you're IFB, can you have a massage therapist, but your massage therapist is a man if you're a man? Is that okay? Yes. Or is that like...
That's kosher. That's okay.
They don't get like weird about being like, oh, you have a man as your massage...
It is okay if you can make the massage about like medical reasons. If it's a massage to get de-stressed, that's a no-go. If it's a massage because you have, I don't know, pain or whatever, that's okay. Because men don't get stressed, in the, you know, because, you know, men are manly in the IFB. You're sitting here making a very funny face in a baby pink baseball hat, which is very cute, by the way.
I won this baseball hat in a raffle at the Grand Prix of Portland, the IndyCar race that was like 3 weeks ago. Great race. I got to meet one of my favorite racing drivers, Romain Grosjean. I got his autograph. You can see it on my Instagram.
I apologize for stopping this episode to compliment Gabi's hat. We're sitting here drinking beer and talking about Kent Hovind.
We've literally never recorded an episode when we were in the same place before.
So we're just doing our best here. I have one other thing about Kent Hovind. This, I want to be extremely clear. This is something that I am only reading from one source.
Okay.
In my opinion, it's a reliable source. But I do not have actual proof or backup on this. But there are a lot of rumors flying around that Kent Hovind has volunteers on Dinosaur Adventure Land compound right now that are active drug addicts, which is, you know, not to shame anybody, but that's probably not who should be running around unsupervised around a bunch of kids. That just seems maybe like a mismatch in purpose of the ministry there.
Well, is he like trying to get them help, or is he just like, here, you can work here and I'll pay you in cash, or like
he's not trying to get them help, he's just like enabling them is what I'm reading. The other thing that I'm hearing about Hovind is that there are people who he has volunteering for him at Dinosaur Adventure Land who have current like sexual assault restraining orders and domestic violence restraining orders, and that the compound is basically becoming like a sanctuary for IFB and IFB adjacent people who are on parole.
So it is basically like the Tiger King.
So that's where I'm getting my Tiger King.
Literally the same thing that Joe Exotic did.
Yeah, this is going a very odd direction, and I feel like I'm going to stop talking about Kent Hovind now because I feel like there's going to be a Hovind part 3.
Yeah.
Coming.
Like, if it keeps going this way, we have so much to talk about.
Yeah. So we should move on for the moment to Josh Duggar, because there was some Duggar legal news this week.
Yes. I saw that he tried to have his case dismissed 4 times or five, 4 motions or something. All of them got rejected by the judge, who said, "Shut up, Josh Duggar, you suck."
I'm pulling up my source here real quick. Hold on. The Josh Duggar trial was originally supposed to be earlier this year, and it was moved back to November 2021.
It was supposed to be in June or July, right?
It was supposed to be in July, I think.
Yeah.
And it was moved back to November. The reason for moving it back was that his legal team wanted more time to examine how the government handled the evidence in his case, specifically the forensic evidence related to his computer.
Okay, so what does that mean? What is the... decode that for us lay people.
I've been reading so much legal information about this, and I'm going to try to distill it as best as I can. Josh Duggar's defense at the moment seems to be saying that... It was not that yes, there were child sexual assault images and child sexual assault materials downloaded to that computer in the used car lot, but it wasn't Josh Duggar who downloaded it.
So he's saying it wasn't me. It's the R. Kelly defense.
Yes, which, as we all know, works out great.
Yeah, I would like to on this podcast say congratulations to all of the prosecutors in the R. Kelly case. That man is going to jail for like 100 years or something. He's never getting out. So that'll be good. Another absolute creepazoid who abuses children is
in jail to stay.
Yeah, in jail to stay.
That is the direction that Duggar's attorneys seem to be going with his entire legal defense, is that they can't fight that there were images on the computer, but that they're going to try to say that it wasn't Josh. So Duggar has been, his team has been trying to throw suspicion on other people, including his own family members who worked at the car lot at the same time.
So before they were saying it's not there, or you guys planted it, or there's something wrong with the...
The first thing they said was you planted the evidence, and then once they got this extra time to examine the evidence, they were like, okay, no, it's on there, but it wasn't Josh Duggar who downloaded it. Now, the next thing that has been happening is that Duggar's attorneys filed 4 motions to either dismiss specific evidence or dismiss the entire case.
So they were trying to, the prosecutors wanted pictures of Josh's hands, right?
Right. That's one of the things. They filed 4 motions to, 2 of them are to dismiss the case because of mishandling of the case on the part of federal agents and investigators. The other 2 motions are to throw out evidence. Like, you've seen a lot of Law and Order.
Yeah, I've seen every episode of Law and Order.
We have it in a box set. Have you seen our box set?
Yeah, I've seen your box set.
So
Jack McCoy, Sam Waterston, great man. He was the best.
So
Jerry Orbach, rest in peace. You know, also the dad in Dirty Dancing.
Yes. So you know, if you've seen a lot of Law and Order, that if evidence is gotten, even if that evidence points to the truth about a crime, if that evidence is gotten improperly, it cannot be brought up at trial to use to try to convict that person.
Any subsequent evidence that was discovered after that piece of evidence, because of that piece of evidence, also gets thrown out unless they can bring up another reason why they would have been able to come by that eventually.
Right. So that is the direction that Josh Duggar's attorneys are attempting to go with this. So let's go through these 4 motions, and we'll talk about what this means and what I'm predicting based on literally nothing other than having watched a lot of Law and Order and seen a lot of Bundy creeps go on trial.
I was on the mock trial team when I was in high school, so I kind of know some of this stuff. Yeah.
So,
geek. Hey, I was a big nerd. But
no, I totally would have been. It's just that my Bundy school didn't have that. So the first one is a motion to suppress statements and a request for an evidentiary hearing. This motion is to suppress the stupid things that Josh Duggar said to officers at the time of the raid on the used car lot.
So when they came up to him and they said, we need to seize your computer, he said, oh no, has somebody been downloading child pornography onto my computer?
Yes, that's the statement. That's the statement that his lawyers are trying to suppress, which he said completely unprompted.
Yes.
To the federal investigators after, like, they... So his legal team wants it suppressed because he mentioned calling his lawyer. And there's a lot of discussion about when he was Mirandized and whether he was properly Mirandized. But what it comes down to is Josh Duggar was not in custody or under arrest at the time that he said the stupid thing. And he was free to just walk away because he was not in custody, nor was he under arrest. So his invocation of an attorney doesn't matter, because you can't invoke your right to an attorney unless you're being Mirandized. You have a right to an attorney. If you cannot afford one, the court will provide one for you.
Is it true? So if you ask for an attorney, is anything that you say between when you ask for the attorney and when your attorney gets there automatically inadmissible?
No, it's not.
So there we go.
So he just blurted stuff out because between when you ask for an attorney and when your attorney gets there, the arresting officers cannot, or the officers on the scene, if they're not arresting you, cannot compel you to say anything at all. You have a right to remain silent. Josh, for some...
Did not remain silent.
Did not remain silent. So what the court determined is that the right to an attorney does not attach until you are arrested. And also, it doesn't matter because he was not under arrest. He was not being detained. He could have turned on his heel and walked away from the federal agents, and he chose not to. He chose to get in their car and talk to them. So whatever he said is on him. So that motion was denied for that reason. And this is a good reminder for our listeners. This is free advice. If you're ever being arrested, whether you did the thing you're being arrested for or not, whether you feel like it's fair or not, all you have to say is, I'd like to speak with my lawyer. That's it. That's all you say. Don't respond to anything. Quietly and calmly say, I'd like to speak to my lawyer. If you have the ability to be in a situation with police that is not dangerous or abusive, and some people don't have that privilege, but if you do have that privilege, all you have to say is, I want to talk to my lawyer.
And then they can...
Don't be a Josh Duggar.
No. So, don't be a Josh Duggar anyway, because...
Don't be a Josh Duggar in any way, but not in this way either.
Yeah.
Okay, the second motion is a lot less interesting. The motion to dismiss the case for the government's failure to preserve potentially exculpatory evidence. Do you want to define exculpatory?
So exculpatory, that's evidence to his innocence. Mm-hmm. So basically, if there is evidence that the state discovers and this evidence points to the innocence of the person that they have arrested and are accusing of said crime, then they are legally required to provide that evidence to the defense counsel.
The Duggar legal team is saying that the government may have failed to preserve some of that type of evidence specifically on his computer and on his cell phone, but the court decided against that motion.
Do they know, are they saying what the evidence was that would have pointed to his innocence?
Not in anything that I've read.
I suppose we'll probably find that out when we get to trial.
We'll probably find it out because of this next thing. There was a motion to suppress photographs of Duggar's hands and feet while in custody. This is the other big, big one.
So you were telling me something about this and what this isn't and what this is.
Yeah, and this turns out to be maybe just ever so slightly less terrible than we were thinking, which is just great at this point in this case.
Yes.
It might be the terrible thing that we were thinking that it is, but there's a chance that it might not be, which would just be fantastic.
Yeah.
When Duggar was arrested, he spent a few days in jail before the hearing that we covered in depth in a prior episode. When they were booking him into jail at that time, they took photos of his hands and feet. Now, we do know that in child sexual assault image cases, if someone is suspected of having produced such material themselves, the arresting officers will often take pictures of the hands and the feet of the suspect, because those body parts can help identify abusers in videos and in pictures where the face of the abuser is not shown.
Interesting.
Which is the best and most terrible thing ever, because they're catching people, but it's also an awful thing that even has to happen.
Right, because in a lot of these, I don't want to call them communities because they're in these groups of basically, in order to get, because this is material that is often difficult to come by, so in order to get your hands on it, sometimes you have to also you have to also share some of your own with the other people.
You have to provide
something
new that they have not seen before, so they know that you are legitimately a terrible, awful piece of shit, not just a cop pretending to be a terrible, awful piece of shit.
It's like a shibboleth.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly what it is. So a lot of people got extremely worried by this development in the case.
That they were looking at his hands and feet.
Right, because they were thinking, because some of the materials that Josh Duggar allegedly downloaded are on the list of things that typically do require that shibboleth of a person providing content that they made themselves in order to receive them. So a lot of people jumped to the conclusion that police were potentially trying to determine whether Josh Duggar had created these materials to share with others, if he had potentially abused some of the many, many children in his life, which would be just terrible.
Mm.
And everyone was really shocked and worried by that, myself included.
Yeah.
That would be the worst case scenario,
that
honestly.
Would be a very upsetting development in this case.
That would be that's the worst case scenario. It really is.
Yeah.
So I'm still fairly worried about that outcome coming out at trial, and I sincerely hope that it does not. I want Josh Duggar to rot in jail, but I hope that as few people have been hurt as humanly possible.
What is the other possibility?
The other possibility that is so much better is a possibility that the pictures of his hands and feet may have been taken as an identification just to run against other hand and feet pictures in that database, just like you'd take someone's fingerprints to see if someone... So if someone committed a robbery, you might take their fingerprints to see if any other unsolved crimes with their fingerprints at the scene just happened to pop up.
Right.
So it could be that this was more of like a precautionary thing, more of like a run it against the database thing, not we specifically suspect this person of creating these specific materials.
And this is important because he's changed his defense from, oh, this was planted, to, oh, somebody else did it.
Mm-hmm.
So
it could just be that they were just running him through the database to see if anything came up. It could, some members of law enforcement have said that pictures of his hands are actually going to be used to prove that it was him using the computer at the used car dealership at the time the materials were downloaded.
So
like there was a picture of his hands on the keyboard.
At that exact time.
Maybe a webcam picture. I don't know exactly how this would work, but I wonder if law enforcement... This is my crackpot theory. This is just a Sadie theory. I think law enforcement tapped into his webcam.
Right.
And activated the webcam. And what they were able to see is someone's hands on the computer screen. Or someone's hands on the keyboard at the time that materials were being downloaded.
Because I guess the screen is tilted down, so you can't see his face, but you can see the back of his hands.
Right. That is my weird theory as to why they took pictures of his hands. I guess we'll find out in November. It'll all come out at trial. That would be the best case scenario.
Yeah.
What the nagging question that this leaves me with, though, is why they took pictures of his feet. That doesn't make sense. Under my theory.
Josh Duggar feet pics available on OnlyFans.
Yeah, we'll sell them and then we'll just like we'll create a fund for anybody who's ever been hurt by him or by creeps like him to like get their life back.
That'd be good.
That could work.
Help those people out, man. They need they
So the motion to suppress those photos is evidence, though. Duggar lawyers say that there wasn't a warrant for these pictures and they should be tossed out of evidence. Fortunately, the judge wasn't having it because the judge is seeing this as just as normal as getting somebody's fingerprints at the time of an arrest. They will be able to be submitted into evidence at the trial in November. Okay, last motion.
Last motion. What's the last one?
So this one's a little extra weird. There is a motion to dismiss the entire charge and dismiss the trial because of violation of the appointments clause.
What?
Duggar's legal team. This is gonna make you laugh. I saved this one for last because it's actually kind of funny.
You can tell she's been doing all the research on this. I have been not.
You've been doing
that.
Other business stuff that I didn't want to do. God,
yeah.
So I do the research that you don't want to do, and you do the business stuff that I don't want to do, and it works out.
It's a good team.
So here's one to make you laugh. Duggar's legal team claimed that former President Donald Trump unlawfully appointed the specific Homeland Security officers that carried out the investigation and arrested Josh Duggar. And therefore, because they're not legally Homeland Security agents, the whole thing should be thrown out.
Wow.
Which just goes to show you that the fundies, man, they will turn on anyone who's like anyone. They'll turn on anyone because the Duggars, these are the people that
is a judo move.
They had Trump 2020 mowed into their front lawn last year.
Ew.
Yes. But also, as soon as they need one of their own out of jail and like to get away with something terrible, they turn on Trump just like that.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Genius stuff.
I was not able to get deep. I did not quite have the time and resources this week to get deep into like figuring out why they were saying that they were unlawfully appointed, but I still thought that was really funny.
Interesting.
So where I am at the Josh Duggar case
is a Hail Mary. Like that is a legit, like if that's the kind of motions that they're filing, that is a Hail. That is like Kent Hovind, I am a sovereign citizen level, or Kent Hovind, every signature that I have ever signed in my life before this,
is
including
null and void, including my marriage contract.
Which is...
So, okay. Yeah. Which apparently didn't mean much to him anyway.
No.
Okay. Damn. So I'm glad that you brought up this Hail Mary pass idea, because that is exactly what I think about this whole thing. What legal experts on the internet think, and what I think as well, is this is just Duggar's attorneys throwing everything at the wall to see what will stick. That's exactly what this is.
Yeah.
And nothing stuck so far. He's going to go to trial. There's been a lot of talk about whether he would take a plea deal if he was offered one.
What? How many counts is he being charged with?
He is being charged with 2 counts of receiving and 2 counts of possessing.
Okay.
Unless I'm just misremembering this.
And what are the sentences for those crimes?
I think it's 5 years per count. So 20 years total.
That's 20 years total. Okay. So they're going to, I mean, they're probably going to offer him, if they were going to do a plea deal with him, they'd probably offer him like 10, 15 years.
There is a rumor that he was offered 6 years and turned it down. That is just an unconfirmed rumor.
Offered 6 years and turned it down, dude.
So he thinks he can beat it, but I don't think he can. I just don't think. So I'm seeing a lot of, this is why I wanted to get to this, because I'm seeing a lot of people kind of freak out on the internet. Like, there was a picture this week of Josh and Anna walking out of the court together, holding hands, looking super smug and happy after having these 4 motions denied. And there are people freaking out, thinking like, if he's walking out looking that happy, then he knows something and he's going to get away with this. I personally am resting my confidence on the idea that the feds have a high 90s conviction rate.
Yeah.
Especially in this type of cases. I think he thinks he's going to get away with it. I really think he's going to go to jail.
Because he's gotten away with a lot of stuff before.
That's it. That's it. Because he has never actually faced real consequences. Because if he had faced actual consequences for the incident that happened with his sisters when he was younger, he would have been in therapy until he turned 18. That would have been an appropriate consequence for what happened. If he had faced real consequences for the Ashley Madison scandal, Anna would have left him, but he did not face real consequences. If he had faced real consequences for what allegedly happened between him and Danica Dillon, he would have gone to jail for assault.
Right.
So he has never actually faced the consequences he deserved for the things that we know he has done. So I think he just expects not to face. I think he just thinks that Jesus is going to get him out of this.
It's going to catch up with him. Right, because he's been told basically his whole life that he is like the chosen, the firstborn son of God's chosen family. And
yeah.
He's, you know, and God will protect him. I don't know.
So my final opinions on this, and this is again.
I hope he doesn't take a plea deal. I hope he's going to go.
I don't think he will.
He's going to go to trial. They're going to trot out all of the boatloads of evidence that they have against him, and the jury is going to be out for about 10 minutes, and then they're going to come back and say, this man is extremely guilty, throw him in jail.
I'm going to give my 2 final opinions on the Josh Duggar thing at this point. I have kind of good news and bad news, if you will.
Yeah.
The good news is I really still feel that he's going to go to jail. I have gathered a lot of information, and more than I could organize into a cohesive way of talking about it, more than I really wanted to make into an entire other Duggar episode, because I want to save it for the trial, and just my gut feeling. I do think he's going to go to jail. My gut feeling is that we're all going to be a little bit disappointed with the time that he gets. I think we all would love to see him get like 40 years or 20 years.
Deserves it.
Just remembering how I felt about the Jack Scott case.
They gave him 10 years?
They gave him 10 years, yeah. I felt satisfied that he was going to jail because he actually got what he deserved. I felt a little bit dissatisfied with the amount of time that he got. I really feel like that's going to happen again with this case. The good news is I do think he's going to jail. The bad news is I think at this point I have to revise my earlier statements about Anna. She's missed the last train. She's missed the last train out of Joshville.
You think she's going to, if he goes to jail for 20 years, say he gets 20 years.
If he goes to jail for 20 years, she doesn't have to deal with him for 20 years. Can you imagine how great that would be for her?
Yeah. That's but like, do you think she's going to hold him down?
I mean, depends on your definition of hold him down.
So like she's going to stay with him for 20 years.
Yeah.
While he's in jail. Yeah. How old is he now? He's like 40?
I don't think he's quite 40. Josh was born in 85 or 87. So he's like 34 to 36.
Oh man. So he's going to be in his 50s.
I'm trying to remember. Okay. I'm trying to remember if Jana and John David are my age or older.
Hmm.
Anyway. I think she's going to stay with him, unfortunately, which just sucks. But, I think that's also kind of, I think that's the easiest option for her because she'll be able to remain financially dependent on her in-laws who have a good stash of money in a big house.
Yeah.
So, I think that's kind of the unfortunate news, but I guess we'll find out. Okay. That's it for the IFB legal update. We got to wrap up.
Yeah. If you like the Leaving Eden podcast, you can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Facebook and Instagram are at Leaving Eden Podcast. Twitter is at Leaving Eden Pod. Send us emails at leavingedenpod@gmail.com. You can send us, you can join our Facebook group, which is facebook.com/group/EdenExodus. And you can join our Patreon, which is patreon.com/leavingedenpodcast. Sadie, do you want to plug your social media?
Yep. You can follow me on Instagram at Sadie Carpenter Music. You can follow me on Twitter at Hell Yes Sadie. Fear not, Bachelor in Paradise is almost over, so it's safe to follow me on Twitter now. Yeah, you can follow me on TikTok at Sadie Carpenter 1. We've got some amazing stuff coming up in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, it's going to be great. Oh, just one thing. If you join our Patreon, we have actually started letting patrons vote on what order we want to, they want to hear episodes. So like we'll give them a choice of like 4 episodes or whatever and say, which one do you want to hear first? So if you want to do that, you can join our Patreon.
All right.
You can follow me on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and Clubhouse at GAVRIELHACOHEN. And everybody, have a nice day, and I hope that all of these guys go to jail. Bye-bye.